You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Rachel Bartlett. Page views, traffic referrals, bounce rate. There's a lot of data available to newsrooms today to help them understand how content is discovered, consumed and shared. And while there are a number of third-party tools available, some news outlets have also taken it upon themselves to build their own platforms, made to suit their output and editorial processes. I recently visited The Guardian to meet with digital audience editor Chris Moran and director of architecture Graham Tackley to check out The Guardian's own real-time analytics platform, OFAN. The platform was born out of a hack day where Graham set about trying to build something which would support the work that Chris was doing.
We run a regular hack day within our across the company, and that gives us an opportunity as developers to do whatever we fancy for 24 hours. And I was talking to Chris before that and was absolutely shocked that he was trying to do SEO work and optimization of content and couldn't see the results of what he was doing. My background was kind of sitting in the server room, understanding and why our website crashed now and again, and spending a lot of time analyzing our log files to work out what happened. So I knew that actually we got an entry in our log file the moment somebody visited our website. And so when Chris was saying he didn't know what was happening, I thought that was odd. So what I did in 24 hours was just took those logs that took actually a sample of those logs that I'd been looking at and presented a view to Chris of, look, here's where we're getting traffic and here's where the big referrers are. So the traditional thing is at the end of a hack day, you turn the hack off. But at the end of the hack day, I asked, I said to Chris, right, I better turn it off now. And Chris said,
I said, please God, don't.
Because literally in the case, it's genuinely the case that in 24 hours, Graham, he didn't only change the way that I did my job, he made it possible for me to properly do my job. I mean, genuinely, there's no doubt about it. I was completely blind beforehand. And suddenly, I could see exactly what was going on.
The platform offers Guardian journalists, editors, moderators and others the ability to dive into a pool of data, which is organised into a series of specific pages. This includes a page dedicated to data about that day, from page views and referrers to key searches and the tweets responsible for the highest number of page views. Others include pages showing the biggest 20 articles at that moment in terms of traffic, or data on the most recently published articles. But for Chris, one of the key pages for journalists is the one dedicated to referral data.
I think the main thing that works best is the graph that shows minute-by-minute referrals, which is how it started. And that was designed primarily to show me those spikes from Google that would indicate that I was doing the right thing at a specific time. And what's fascinating about that is, in terms of journalists, I showed Simon Hattenston wrote... he did an interview with Daniel Radcliffe a couple of weekends ago. And being able to just, you know, walk past him and go, this is what happened to the number of readers when I put it on the Facebook page. It's astonishing. That simple view of like a cliff face of readers, you know, and it's not just a graph, it's not just clicks or clickbait or what have you. It's actual people engaging with a piece of quality content. That, for me, is the key thing that makes the difference. I think it's really exciting.
In the process of building and developing OFAN, consideration was given as to how the platform could be made most accessible and to ensure journalists would be able to quickly make sense of the data in front of them so they can then go on to use it in the most effective way. From an initial standpoint, this included making it easy to access using a Guardian email address, as well as offering a way to bookmark the platform for use within articles. OFAN also enables users to click on a particular traffic spike and be taken immediately to data on the relevant content. It also offers an email alert system to flag up content performing particularly well, or not so much. Originally, this alert system only sent out an email when content performed well, but through what has been an ongoing conversation with editorial around the development of the system, this was altered with the input of editors, as Chris explains.
So the alerts originally just told... You could set them up to say, you know, if something gets more than this number, ping me. And they're very, very flexible, so it can be from this country, this referrer within this section, da, da, da. But the first thing the editors said when we showed them it was, actually, that's great, and that would be fine, but what we really want to know is what does badly. And again, that's not because they're, you know, those are the editors who are in charge of that content. It's not because they want to spike it or all content like it. It's because there's a recognition there that we need to be involved in certainly the first hour after launch in helping that content get out. Because otherwise it's like a bird trying to leave the nest and just hitting the ground. But I mean, it's important to emphasise that the whole of OFAN's been built with that in mind. What we've got now is not something that we thought 2 years ago what we wanted. If we'd said, gone to management and gone, we want to build a full-featured, bespoke, real-time traffic system, there's no chance in hell we'd have got funding for it. It wouldn't have taken off. Nobody would have thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And it is the way it is today purely because Graham's been speaking to editorials there.
So how are journalists at The Guardian using the platform? Chris and Graham explain that journalists are encouraged to use it to test out different approaches, such as which social platforms to push out to and at which time, and then use the results to guide future decisions. Features such as the Key Tweets facility, for example, can work to highlight good strategy when it comes to how to word stories on social networks, especially if the tweet comes from someone not a member of The Guardian staff.
So part of the benefit of all is ambient. So when a journalist has seen that happen to that piece, the next time they'll be more interested in the ways in which our production process is sharing that piece of content on different platforms, if that makes sense. If they're engaged with it and they know that there's the potential for readers beyond just it going in the Super Pixie slot on the network front or something like that, then that means they can bother me, they can bother other people. It's basically designed to be a data stick to beat me with and other people in the building, and that's all good. But I mean, in terms of responding to something, if an author opens something up and notices that their piece, which is say about a live news term, has no Google traffic, it's a similar thing. That's a question about, well, is the furniture right? Have we described it correctly? And so on and so forth. So again, it's about feeding back into the production process, making sure that we've done the obvious thing.
Graham offered his advice for other news outlets considering some DIY in the analytics department. Reflecting on the work involved and the need for any such platform to offer an interface which makes sense to the intended user base and offers underlying data of specific relevance to them.
There's a lot of innovation going on now in the analytics space. Yeah. So you've got the traditional providers like Google Analytics and Omniture, but then you've got the likes of Chartbeat and Mixpanel and Kissmetrics, all of which are pushing the boundaries of what analytics can do. Having said that, there's something very unique around having a platform that we control, and we can adjust to not just present data differently to people inside the organisation, but also focusing on what we actually want to track. So, you know, we want to move forward and do things around measuring, actually doing a better job of actually measuring how far through an article people have read, so we can actually understand whether it's just a view or whether they're actually engaged with the article. And, you know, we're able to do that because we're in control of our destiny. I think the way in which data is presented to editors, I think it's a very cultural thing around how your organisation works and what your organisation needs to see. So I think even if you are using an off-the-shelf tool, I would focus very hard on how I could customise the presentation of that, because I think a lot of OFAN's success is not around the actual nuts and bolts of analytics. It's around realising that actually what our people need to see is quite unique to them, and what's going to motivate and change them is quite unique to them.
Another media outlet which has built its own platform to measure engagement with online content is Forbes. In addition to using third-party tools, Forbes also built what it calls its statistics engine to help inform its community of contributors and the audience about content interactions. Chief Product Officer Lewis Dvorkin explains exactly how the platform works.
What we built is a tool, a statistics engine, that measures all the activity, production, output, page views, unique visitors, repeat visitors, all the feedback loop from our contributors and staffers posting is the type of statistics engine that we built. So, I mean, from its very small standpoint, there's what we call a public page view counter. And on every post, it shows how many page views that post has, which updates every 5 or 10 minutes. That's the beginning of capturing the data for page views, for unique visitors, for unique visitors who visit multiple times in the month. That feeds, those statistics feed a platform that then distributes that information individually to the contributors, so they have their own dashboard, as well as an aggregate dashboard that we use to see how all our contributors are doing, or how certain contributors are doing in a vertical like technology or business or entrepreneurs or investing.
Highlighting the scale of the task, Lewis said that the platform did face difficulty as demand on it increased with the rise of engagement on the site and content being produced.
As our audience grew, as our traffic grew, as our post count grew, our statistics engine would run into some troubles. Such to the point that at one time we had to completely rebuild it almost from scratch because we were growing so fast and so big that we needed to make it scalable. So there was a period of time there that we were, you know, not happy campers because we just, our growth was so large we had to go back and redo it again.
He added that Forbes also needed to build its own platform in order to tie the analytics together with its payment mechanism for contributors. The data is refreshed every 15 minutes, and Lewis stressed the importance of Forbes journalists and contributors being in touch with what is going on and to take lessons from it.
Every contributor should know, and every staffer should know, how am I doing? I publish a post. How's it doing? Where's the traffic coming from? Do people care? Are they interested? How does it compare with the other posts that I've done? So we really strongly believe that data is a feedback loop that helps power what we do. And I want to be really clear about this. The data informs what we do. It doesn't rule what we do. But not having it is being blind to what the audience is interested in. And I just believe being blind about your audience is not a good place to be.
And it seems that the Forbes journalists and contributors are well on board.
When we started to do this, staffers would come into my office and ask me to stop counting the data in public because they were a bit embarrassed that maybe a post wasn't viewed that many times. And I said, no. We're going to continue it because you need to know how you're doing, and it's transparent to the public as well. That's very important. Fast forward 6 months later, if you remember, I told you we had some troubles with our statistics engine and we had to rebuild it. Well, when we had trouble, it would show zero page views on the page. And when the statistics engine would break, all publishing stopped. The feedback loop had become so important to the people who were complaining about it that they didn't want to publish unless they knew how they were doing. And that's one of the reasons why we went through an intense effort to rebuild the statistics engine, because if people wouldn't publish, there are no pages to put ads on, to make revenue, to keep the lights on, okay? So the feedback loop is now integral to how people think about what they do.
Finally, when it comes to his advice for other news outlets considering embarking on a similar project, as Graham similarly highlighted previously, Lewis stressed the importance of delivering the data in a way which is visually meaningful to those you want to engage with it.
The display of data has to be attractive, pretty, and easy to consume. Engineers are not necessarily used to that. They build great engines, but the display of it is not their forte. So we actually have designers who work on how the data is displayed to our contributors, as well as how it's displayed to the editors who are digging even deeper into that data than the contributors can. So actual page display is critical.
We'll have more on OFAN and the Forbes statistics engine on journalism.co.uk in the coming weeks. For now, you've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.